This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's happening tomorrow. That is on Tuesday of this week as Donald Trump is set to meet with, well, the head of the family ruling Saudi Arabia. You say, so what? Well, for Donald Trump, it's not so what. It's, hey, this is the deal. This is what I've been looking for. But why has he been looking for this? What is it at stake? Some are saying the entire Middle East is at stake. For Donald Trump, the so-called Abraham Accords is at stake. For Saudi Arabia, it's more than that. It's the support of the United States of America as security, protection against Iran and other powers. It is a huge deal. A huge deal supported not really a state dinner and all of that, but in fact, perhaps even more than that. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at that, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. The Saudis have not given up on a Palestinian state. The Saudi royal family has told Israeli media that they would not normalize ties with Israel without a two-state solution based on the 1967 borders. They said there won't be normalization with Israel without meeting the basic condition, a two-state solution based on the 1967 borders. They said Trump won't pressure us to do anything else, and even so, normalization will not occur without this basic condition. Even if we don't buy F-35s from the U.S., it doesn't matter. We'll purchase advanced weapons from another country, even though the U.S. was and will remain a strategic ally, he stated. A source in the Saudi royal family addressing U.S. President Donald Trump's remarks from Saturday about the purchase of F-35 jets and the upcoming meeting tomorrow with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. So today on Viewpoint, we take a look at this event. It is a salutary event concerning the, shall we say, the approach, the diplomacy approach that Donald Trump has with the Middle East, with Israel, and with the Arab nations. Donald Trump has seen fit, unfortunately or fortunately, however you may look at it, to actually equalize the cause of the Arab nations with that of Israel. And so he has a bigger agenda. His bigger agenda is to achieve yet another peace agreement. Yet another peace agreement, going beyond the so-called Gaza agreement and to expand tremendously the Abraham Accords to all of the Arab nations. Why the Arab nations? Because the Arabs find their derivation from Ishmael, the first son of Abraham. And so all of this is of critical importance now 4,000 years after Abraham gave birth to Ishmael and then to Isaac, with whom God, in his word, in Genesis chapter 17, gave the promise that Israel and through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would all the nations and families of the earth be blessed. Well, that happened through Yeshua, Jesus, who was, as you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, he was the descendant of Abraham by faith and David by lineage. Today I had a chance to meet with David. I really did. Well, not the David of the Bible, but a David, and we had a wonderful conversation today concerning a whole lot of things, a businessman, and we just had a wonderful conversation. I hope that it will mature into other things for the advancement of the kingdom of God and mutual relationship. But God had a number of conversations, shall we say, with the David of the Bible. and said that in him and through him would all the nations of the earth be blessed. Well, that's true, that the Messiah would come through David, would come through David because he followed the Lord with a whole heart. He wasn't perfect, but he followed the Lord with a whole heart. And God said that David pleased him, and he became a man after God's own heart. But Abraham also was a man after God's own heart and was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God not because he gave birth to Ishmael, because that did not make him a friend of God. In fact, it was just the opposite of what God planned. It preempted what God had planned because he had a little, shall we say, unfortunate negotiation with his wife, Sarah. Sarah got pretty upset with him because he continued to complain about whether or not and how God was going to fulfill the promise that in and through him would all the families of the earth be blessed, since he had no son. And so Sarah said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you just go into my handmaid Hagar, the Egyptian, and why don't you have a son by her, and then we'll cut this matter off and you won't complain anymore. So Abraham decided to go ahead with that and reasoned, I suppose, like many of us do, that, you know, I got to find a way to fulfill God's purposes, so I'm not going to wait. I'll just get on with it. And that's what he did. And as a result of that, for 4,000 years, the nation has been cursed with the aftermath of an effort by a man who was the friend of God to preempt God's plan through impatience and produce a son, Ishmael, that has then become a dramatic competitor with Israel and the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now the entire world is dealing with this here on the near edge of the second coming. That's really where we are, and it gives a quick synopsis of the situation. The situation is not going away. In fact, it's intensifying. This week, in fact, yesterday, Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been criticized hugely by some of those in his cabinet and administration, decided to give a response. Well, here's what the two demanded. They were Ben-Gvir and Smotrich that demanded action from Netanyahu. They demanded that Netanyahu oppose the U.S. statement at the U.N., which said to begin a process that offers a pathway to Palestinian self-determination and to establishment of a Palestinian state. The finance minister, Smotrich, denounced reports that the United States is acting indirectly to recognize a Palestinian state ahead of normalization with Saudi Arabia. You see, all of this connects with what's going to happen tomorrow here in the United States with the head of the royal family of Saudi Arabia, who comes here. Mr. Prime Minister, said Smotrich, 2 months ago, immediately after several countries announced their unilateral recognition of a Palestinian state, you pledged you would respond firmly on the matter as soon as you returned from the United States. And since then, there's been total silence, which is a diplomatic disgrace. The deterioration we now see on this matter is dangerous. So what happened as a result? We'll talk about that when we get back, friends. You're listening to Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Some may wonder why all of this matters with regard to Saudi Arabia visiting the United States and the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, indicating the possibility of promising some F-35 jets, which is the latest iteration that Israel only in the Middle East has. What is all this about? What is the significance? Is it just geopolitical or is it biblical? does it have any relationship to what God has spoken of in His Word? We'll find out that indeed it does. More than you might think. But let's continue on with the response of the finance minister Smotrich and also Ben-Gvir there in Israel. Smotrich says the deterioration we see now on this matter to Netanyahu is dangerous. Form immediately an appropriate and decisive response that will make clear to the entire world no Palestinian state will ever be established on our ancestral lands, he said. The Minister of National Security, Ben-Gvir, responded, there is no such thing as a Palestinian people. This is an invention that has no historical, archaeological, or factual basis. A collection of immigrants from Arab countries to the land of Israel are not a people. By the way, he is true. He is actually right. It is a construction. If there's a Palestinian people, then Israel, the Jewish people, are part of the Palestinian people because they were inhabitants of what Rome called Palestina. That's the only historic connection, Palestina. And so there were both Arabs and Jews present in the land of Israel during that period of time, the Roman occupation. But that doesn't make them the Palestinian people. Historically, there is no historical or archaeological factual basis for a so-called Palestinian people. It's a name that was attached to a group of people then that was left over purposely by the Arab nations who sought to attack Israel in 1948, immediately after they announced statehood. What happened? Well, just to refresh your recollection, the Arab nations urged the Arabs that were then in Israel with the Jewish people at that time where the nation of Israel was formed in 1948, they urged them to leave the land, Eretz Israel, leave the land of Israel, and if they would do so, because the Arab nations were going to come in and push Israel into the sea. That was their goal. That was their promise. We're going to do it. So get out of Israel, the land of Israel, and when we finish this job, you can come back and you're going to have it all to yourself. That was the promise. But it never happened. So then when it never happened, you had all these hundreds of thousands of people, I think it was like 700,000 or 800,000 Arabs, who had followed the urging of the Arab nations to get out of the land of Israel. And now what's going to happen to them? Well, the Arab nations had no interest in those people now, did nothing with them. And so they were put in camps, 700,000 or 800,000 in camps. And that's how this whole issue began to develop. And then it was used by the other Arab nations who choreographed the nations of the earth through the United Nations to come against Israel and use that as a political cudgel ever since 1948. That's how it happened. And so they decided to call them the Palestinian people or the Palestinian state or whatever. That's not what it was, it's not what it is, but that's what the nations who are opposing Israel have decided to call it. It's a political term. The only real solution in Gaza is encouragement of voluntary migration, said Ben-Gvir, and certainly not a state that rewards terror, which would be a base for continued terror. So I call upon the Prime Minister, Netanyahu, to clarify that the state of Israel will not allow the establishment of a Palestinian state in any form. Well, that just came out a couple of days ago from Israel, in fact, Israel National News. Then following that, yesterday, came this report. Netanyahu clarifies no to a Palestinian state. So he's going to clean up the silence, and he opened yesterday's cabinet meeting, Sunday's cabinet meeting, by addressing political criticism surrounding security and diplomatic matters. Netanyahu emphasized that no parts of Gaza will remain an undemilitarized zone and that Hamas will be disarmed. He said Hamas will be stripped of its weapons. It will happen either the easy way or the hard way. That's what I've said. That's what President Trump has said as well, said Netanyahu. On the political front, Netanyahu reaffirmed his longstanding opposition to the establishment of a Palestinian state west of the Jordan River. Our opposition to a Palestinian state on any part of this territory has not changed in the slightest, he said. He added that he has resisted such diplomatic initiatives for decades under pressure from both from abroad and at home. Well, you would think that that would clarify it then. That would be set in stone. Well, it seems that nothing is set in stone these days because everybody has an angle. Everybody has an angle. Israel is pushing for a Saudi peace deal, but the head of the royal family there in Saudi Arabia might be interested in a peace deal, but is interested in something else much bigger from their perspective. So the question is, according to the Jerusalem Post, how far will Trump go to press both sides to achieve this so-called peace deal? Well, when Smotrich, the finance minister of Israel, said if Saudi Arabia tells us normalization in exchange for a Palestinian state, he said, friends, no thank you. Keep riding camels in the desert in Saudi Arabia, he said at a conference. So you can see that the pressure is on. Then a line came in response to that. Smotrich may treat normalization dismissively, but for much of Israel's security and diplomatic establishment, a breakthrough with Riyadh, that is the capital of Saudi Arabia, is the crown jewel. For Saudi Arabia, however, Israel is not the crown jewel. The real prize for Saudi Arabia lies elsewhere in Washington, not Jerusalem. That's the unspoken backdrop to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's visit to the White House tomorrow, his first visit in more than 7 years since, you recall, the horrific murder of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Okay, so the stage is set. We see the pressures that are on. Pressure. Pressure causes people to do that which otherwise they should not do. And we see how pressure will actually create persecution, which will bring about for many, many, many professing Christians the loss of their faith. They will capitulate. They will capitulate under the pressure of persecution, and many will actually receive the infamous mark of the beast. Pressure is a very big thing. It can form diamonds. It can cook food, but it also can cook your goose, so to speak. So pressure is both good and bad. Fire is both good and bad. It destroys, but it also energizes. It brings light. It helps us with our cooking our food. It does so many things that are good, but it's also bad when not properly restrained and contained. Israel National News has revealed that Donald Trump, our president, is poised to approve an F-35 jet sale to Saudi Arabia during MBS's visit. That's how they refer to the head of the royal family. Bloomberg reports that Trump is expected to approve a deal allowing Saudi Arabia to buy the F-35 jets during that visit. Well, what is this all about? Well, that would allow the kingdom, that is Saudi Arabia kingdom, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, that's MBS, to purchase advanced F-35 stealth fighter jets, according to a senior administration official quoted by Bloomberg on Friday. The official who spoke on condition of anonymity anonymity, said Trump and MBS plan to sign a series of economic and defense agreements during the scheduled visit to the White House tomorrow. Now, the sale of the F-35 jets manufactured by Lockheed Martin and valued at approximately $100 million per jet would mark a significant concession to Saudi Arabia as Washington seeks to deepen ties and encourage Saudi Arabia to join the Abraham Accords and normalize relations with Israel. Notice now the agendas. The agenda for Donald Trump is to achieve yet another advancement of peace through the Abraham Accords. But how do you bring peace through a whole bunch of Arab nations that are the physical descendants of Abraham and Ishmael, who have always been at odds and hatred of Abraham through Isaac, which is Israel? How are you going to do that? Are you going to do it by the sale of F-35 jets to Saudi Arabia? Are you going to do it through the promise of a Palestinian state when the so-called people that make up that group of people have had no less than absolute unmitigated hatred and contempt for the physical descendants of Abraham and Isaac? You see, one wonders if indeed there is a realistic hope for peace when in fact the reality, historical reality, is no. There is no realistic hope for peace. So then what do you have to do to achieve that which is unrealistic? That's what's on the table here. Donald Trump is a very pragmatic person. He has great goals, and many of his goals are good, but one has to question now whether some of these goals are actually good from God's perspective. You see, the perspective that we have to bring here on this program is not a political perspective. We reveal the political perspective, but we have to analyze the prophetic political perspective through the lens of God's perspective. How do we do that? Is there a lens in the Bible that helps us to understand this a little bit better? Indeed, there is. And we're going to take a look at that in just a few moments. See, Saudi Arabia has long sought access to the fifth-generation fighter aircraft, which are currently deployed only by Israel in the Middle East. So the Saudi crown prince, visit tomorrow to Washington comes as Trump continues efforts to expand the Abraham Accords, which is the normalization framework that he began brokering in 2020 between Israel and four Arab nations. Since then, there's been other nations that have joined with it, including just a couple of weeks ago, Kazakhstan. While the Trump administration has made repeated overtures to Riyadh, Saudi officials have long stated that a Palestinian state would be a condition for Saudi Arabia to normalize ties with Israel. What's going to happen? Saudi Arabia says no way, no how. That's the only thing that will bring normalization. Israel says no way, no how. What do you say? You say, I want to fall on the side of peace now. But Jeremiah the prophet told us men will cry peace, peace, but there will be no peace. So how are we to understand all of this? The Saudi royal family tells Israeli media that they would not normalize ties with Israel without a two-state solution based on the 1967 borders. There won't be a normalization with Israel, they said. Came in the Israel National News yesterday. The two-state solution is the only way based upon 1967 borders. They said Trump won't pressure us to do anything else, and even if so, normalization will not occur without this basic condition. Well, that sounds pretty firm to me. Even if we don't buy F-35s for the U.S., doesn't matter. We'll purchase advanced weapons from another country. Wow. If you were Donald Trump, what would you do? Is he intent on following the words of the Bible or the words of pragmatism as a purported peacemaker.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. There are many, many viewpoints with regard to Israel, with regard to the alleged Palestinian people, which are merely Arabs that were collectivized into the Gaza Strip after the Gaza Strip was given up in order to enable the people that the Arab nations had collectivized in virtual camps when they failed to take over Israel in 1948. So that's how it happened, just in a nutshell. But the question remains for us at this point. As I said, there are many people that have different views concerning Israel, concerning even Israel with regard to Christians and eternal purposes and so on. But let's see what God had to say about these nations. And if you were to turn to Psalm 83, you would find out. So I'm going to read it for you. Psalm 83, keep not silence, O God, hold not your peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, your enemies have made a tumult, and they that hate you have lifted up the head. All right, so the nations that are going to be mentioned here in Psalm 83 are people who are enemies of God and hate God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have to understand that from the very get-go. If you can't accept that, then we waste our time talking. Next, for lo, your enemies have made a tumult, they hate you that have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted against your hidden ones. So these nations that are going to be mentioned are taking crafty counsel against the people that God chose as his people, the Jewish people. Now, this is not a matter of, and this is how a lot of Christians even are looking at this. Well, are you saying that we can't criticize Israel? Are you saying that we can't make decisions and discernment regarding whether they're doing something good or right or honest or whatever? No, it doesn't say that at all. This is about our view concerning a people that God chose. He didn't choose them because they were so great. He didn't choose them because they were so righteous. He didn't choose them because they were so honest. He didn't choose them because they were so anything. The Bible says he chose them because he chose them. Can you accept that? Now, God's had his deal with his people. Oh, the whole Old Testament tells us the story of God's dealing with the people that he chose. Now, he used other nations even to do some of the dealing, like Babylon and like Assyria and ultimately like Rome. He used other nations to do what he needed to do to discipline the people that he chose. But he didn't call you and me to do that. He said, we are to bless Israel and not curse Israel. Because through Abraham, if we're grafted into Abraham as Christians, then, as it was said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And through you, Abraham, and your descendants, through Isaac, shall all the earth be blessed. That included, ultimately concluding in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of Israel, who was the only Israel who ever truly obeyed God fully. That's why he could be our Savior. And that's why we Gentiles have the opportunity to be grafted in, which is a tremendous privilege to be grafted in to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who do embrace Yeshua. So there's a remnant. There's a remnant of Jewish people, and there's going to be a remnant of Gentile people, and in fact, a remnant of so-called professing Christians, who will ultimately form together the people of God, the Israel of God, as the Apostle Paul talked about it. So now we go back. By the way, I interjected that, those qualifying comments, because there's so many people that have ideas out there that make it difficult for them to understand the real issues here. God has a purpose. He's declared that purpose, and he's not going to forget it because of you, because you have a different viewpoint. Viewpoint determines destiny, and your viewpoint that differs from God's is going to determine your destiny in some way. We have to get that through our thick heads. We're not God. He is. So here's what Psalm 83, by the way, the Psalms are quoted by Jesus more than any other book in the Old Testament. He even quoted them from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Those are both quotes from the Psalms. But here's Psalm 83. They, that is these nations that have taken crafty counsel against Israel, the Jewish people, have consulted against them, have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. That's what the whole United Nations has been trying to do. Do you not realize that? And that's what the Arab nations and the Muslim nations have been doing to try to leverage the rest of the nations of the world to surround Israel politically, to destroy her. It's an obvious fact of history, even recent history. So, they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you, the psalm says. Against who? Against God. Why are these nations confederate against God? Because God is the one that chose Israel, and they don't like it. They're envious. What right does God have to choose them, Israel? We're as good as they are. But envy crucified Jesus, friends. Envy is what caused Joseph, the son of Jacob, to be thrown into a pit by 10, or perhaps 10, of the children of Israel, his brothers. Envy is what caused every single one of the apostles to be martyred for their faith, except perhaps John. Envy. The nations of the earth envy Israel because God chose them. And they're a small group of people. So let's confederate against them. We're going to make a plan. We're going to devise a plan, crafty, to put them to an end. So, who are these nations? Well, here it is, starting in verse 6 of chapter 83, Psalm 83. The tabernacles of Edom. Who are the Edomites? The descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob, who sold his birthright to Jacob. And he's been envious and hateful ever since. So have his people, such that the entire book of Obadiah is written to decree the utter destruction of the Edomites. And then the Ishmaelites. Well, who are the Ishmaelites? The Ishmaelites are probably the Midianites. They are the descendants of Ishmael, the first son of Abraham that came through an Egyptian called Hagar. And he was not the son of promise. In fact, God said that the descendants of Hagar would be wild men. You could read it in the Bible. Then the next one is Gebal. I'm not sure who the Gebalites are, but then there's Ammon, the Ammonites. Who are they? The Ammonites are the children of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. You see, there were two sons of Lot. And Lot's daughters went into those men and had kids, the Moabites and the Ammonites. Guess where they are? They're on the other side of the Jordan River, largely in the area of Jordan, which was formed for the purpose of taking in the so-called Palestinian people, but didn't take in all of them, refuses to take in any more. The Arab nations refuse to take in any of those so-called Palestinian people. They want to use them as a lever for the world over Israel. So we have the Ammonites, and that would include the Moabites, and Amalek. Well, who is Amalek? Amalek are the group of people that were in the south as the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And as they walked through the wilderness, they attacked Israel from the rear. Instead of trying to offer some help and hospitality, they attacked Israel from the rear. God said to the children of Israel, because of that, you shall utterly wipe Amalek off the face of the earth. There is no hope for Amalek. So you have the Edomites and the Amalekites that were to be wiped off the face of the earth because of their attitudes that were so ungodly and so unrighteous. Notice also it says the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. We'll get into those in just a moment, friends. Are you beginning to see the Bible actually does speak to this issue? And now it's coming to a head. What will the President of the United States do? Disregard what has been written?
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today we're discussing the amazing developments that are coming right before us today as we prepare for the meeting of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia with the President of the United States at the White House tomorrow on Tuesday. The question, really, the bottom line question is, will there be a Palestinian state? Saudi Arabia says no way, no how. Israel says no way, no how. Saudi Arabia says you'll never get us to be part of the Abraham Accords or any kind of peace agreement in that regard unless there is a Palestinian state. So, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to give somewhere. And it depends on how badly that somebody or nation wants a particular goal. What are you willing to compromise in order to get what you want? That's really what it amounts to. That's the world of negotiation. I understand that very well as a former trial lawyer. 20 years as a trial lawyer, dealing with resolving cases, issues in which there are different opinions, different approaches concerning a particular case, a particular situation, and the liabilities and so on, the damages and so on that are involved. I understand exactly what this situation is. I also understand the pressures. You see, you can have all the talk in the world among lawyers back and forth over cases, but all of a sudden, when the matter is set for trial and the date for trial is looming, all of a sudden the thinking changes. It's amazing. And that's why judges will bring the lawyers for the various parties in for what they call mandatory settlement conferences. And oftentimes the cases are settled at the mandatory settlement conference. And if not, the issues are somewhat clarified there to kind of measure where the other party is standing. Then oftentimes, just before a jury is chosen or after the jury is chosen, the parties will settle. Why? Because of the pressure of what's going to happen, nobody really knows. And so they're willing to give up certain things that they adamantly claimed in order to resolve the matter and get something of favor for both sides. What will happen here? We don't know. But here's an interesting fact. In 2020, the question was, is a new peace deal between Israel and Pakistan in the offing? Well, we haven't even mentioned Pakistan, which, by the way, is made up of a whole bunch of Muslims. It is a Muslim nation. Well, a senior Islamic cleric endorsed the recognition of Israel. He's a former lawmaker in Pakistan. He called for the recognition of the state of Israel and urged Muslims around the world to accept the Jewish state. He said, it is historic. According to Islamic theology, the historic land of Israel belongs only to the Jews. Oh. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? You don't hear that brought up much, if at all. So, where is all this standing? Well, back to Psalm 83. All these nations, Edom, the Ishmaelites, the Moabites, the Hagarenes, the Gebalites, the Ammonites, the Amalekites, the Philistines. Oh, where did the Philistines inhabit during the period of King David's reign? In Gaza. Where did they meet? Where did Goliath come from? Gaza. Where did Samson go to accomplish his purposes that God had ordained against the Philistines? In Gaza. And then you've got the inhabitants of Tyre. Where is Tyre? Oh, that's in southern Lebanon. Where is Hezbollah located? Southern Lebanon. Now, the whole point of Psalm 83 is let them be confounded, these nations, their faces with shame, for they that seek your name, O Lord, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that you, whose name alone is Jehovah, Jehovah, are the most high over all the earth. Oh, that's what God is saying concerning this whole issue. So what are you saying? What are your pastors saying? What are you thinking? Are you listening to the Tucker Carlsons of the world? Are you listening to the Fuentes of the world? Who are you listening to? Or are you listening to God, or do you even care? Now, before we go further, I want to direct your attention to my book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle. Chapter 22 is called The Battle for Jerusalem. Truly a dangerous war at stake. Who will rule and reign over planet Earth? This is not just a small Middle East agenda, friends. This is a much, much bigger picture from God's viewpoint, and I might indicate from the nations of the earth, particularly those located in the Middle East. So let me read to you as this chapter begins. The fight has begun for Jerusalem, declared Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Ahmed Karay, and it is a dangerous war, he said. That was August of 2005, my friends, 20 years ago. 5 years later, Arut Sheva, Israel National News, had a headline, The Battle for Jerusalem, noting, so goes Jerusalem, so goes the peace process. That opinion commentary in Israel National News plainly presented the controversy confronting the nations. The focus on settlements or the occupation has now taken a backseat to the focus on Jerusalem itself. Please understand that this is not primarily about a Palestinian state. That is merely the leverage that's being used through the crafty connivings of the very nations and people groups that God described in Psalm 83. The battle for Jerusalem will be a dangerous war. It is. No war in the history of mankind will have had more momentous impact. At stake is the final battle for King of the Mountain, who will rule and reign over planet Earth. The Palestinian cause is a mere political and religious ploy to obscure the true objective. The purported compassion driving the nations to demand a two-state solution for the ultimate establishment of world peace has become a powerful diversion, providing cover for the nefarious purposes lurking in the global shadows, soon to be unleashed with a vengeance intent on victory in the ultimate and cataclysmic battle for Jerusalem. Do you know when I wrote that? 10 years ago. That's when I wrote that, 10 years ago. Actually, 12 years ago. 12 years ago. Writing about exactly what's happening right now and why. The real question looming over the fate of the holy city, that is Jerusalem, is much greater than who will be king of the mountain, that is the Temple Mount. Rather, it's who is God or who will be God. This battle on earth will be nothing other than a final playing out of the cosmic war historic in the heavenlies between God and his archenemy Satan, who is the ultimate enemy of your soul. The battle for the city of God is the symbolic battle for the souls of men. It's the winner take all. All other current conflicts are merely peripheral to the ultimate prize. And there we have it. Get a copy of the book. It will open your heart, open your eyes to see the bigger picture going all the way back to creation, friends. King of the Mountain, the eternal epic end time battle, where it's said he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. That's really what it's ultimately about. And the nations of the earth are using these issues as a means to collaborate and confederate together with the Middle East nations to take over Israel and through Satan himself will put his counterfeit Christ figure on the Temple Mount. That's how it's going to happen. That's why it's called the Eternal Epic and End Time Battle. It's a $20 book. Yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Or, well, it's on our website, saveus.org. And speaking of that, by the way, we have made a special offer. One of our listeners has asked us to make this offer. That is, until December 15th, you may obtain all 11 of my books for $150. It's an unbelievable discount, but we're doing it to help get the message out, to make it more available to you and from you to others. $150 plus $26 postage and handling for all 11 books. Which means only $2 a book plus $6 for the first book. So it's very, very, very inexpensive. You can go to our website, saveus.org, and avail yourself of this offer. Remember, it's only available through the 15th of December. You can use these books as gifts to people, your friends, Romans, countrymen. Use it for your family. Give to your pastor, and so on. It's an amazing opportunity that we're making available because we don't make money on books. We don't. That's not why I write books. I don't make any money from these books. I put a vast amount of effort into writing them, but I do not make any money for these books. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to disseminate the message, but they do cost money in order to produce. So get your copy right there, your copy. It's on the website, saveus.org, where you can find that special offer being made. Now, in addition to that, on top of that, we're going to give you, you're not going to pay for it, we're just going to give you a wonderful CD called The Sounds of Paradise. Piano arrangements by a dear friend of mine, Perone Wheeler, an excellent, excellent musician and pianist. Very encouraging, uplifting. We're going to provide it to you free on top of all of it. In fact, if you order any two of our books, over $30 total, we'll also provide you The Sounds of Paradise, free. In other words, we want to bless you. We want to get these things out. We want to encourage you to be God's hand extended. You see, it's not just a matter of listening. It's a matter of doing. It's a matter of participating, right? All right. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. I hope this has been helpful. Tell other people about the program. If you're encouraged and strengthened by the program or informed by it, tell other people about it. Send them an email. Give them a text. Give them a call or whatever. And thanks for joining us. Become a partner, friend. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You can write to us, Save America Ministries. Some of you may want to make a monthly automatic gift. You can set that up right there on the website, saveus.org. Or make your generous gift today and help us to kick off even further efforts to get the message out before Jesus comes. God bless and be a blessing. We're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.